Hi folks, I'm really happy to be here. Yesterday I had some issues and you can't imagine how difficult it was to come over. You don't want to know the details, although if there are some security cameras at the campus and they'll release the footage, you're going to see what happened. First of all, like, it's an API truck, and what the heck is even Driven doing an API truck? Because you, not sure if in your companies it happens, but there are actually many people doing event driven and refusing to call event driven APIs, and many of them just focus on the events, on the schemas. They love talk about like what should be in the schema, how big the schema should be, if the event should have state or not. And even like 2 months ago I talked with one company and they were even asking like tiny questions like, do I really have to have a name or should I just have a reference? And what I do later with the event? If the event is really stateless, what should I do? How should I process things? But the thing is that in event-driven architectures, it's not just about events. Of course, events are still important, but don't be that focused on just one part of event-driven architectures. Now, let's try to put all of us on the same page with event-driven. First of all, from this slide, what you can learn is that, first of all, I'm not good in graphics, and I'm lazy enough to not generate diagrams with AI, and I like to copy things from others. So that's a diagram from Async API docs that basically shows you that in event-driven architectures, producers and consumers are totally decoupled. Everything goes through the broker. So you can have a lot of consumers that consume messages from one producer, and you can also have producers that are also consumers at the same moment. But the most important is that there's this message broker in the middle. There's no tight couple between the client and the server. Now, in the past, when I was doing talks about Async API and event-driven, I tried to use different situations in life to explain it. So I did, of course, e-commerce, but that's boring. I did IoT, that's also pretty boring and common. Last time, I even tried with an event system in the browser. But today I tried to promote a bit also the Async API community. So let's talk about Async API community workspace on Slack that really well describes the architecture of event-driven, how things work in async world, and especially in open source communication tool that is, you know, like purely async. So what you have in Slack? You have channels, right? So you really rarely talk directly to someone and you expect answer immediately, especially in open source, you should know that. Request reply pattern is not really common. So you have channels, and as you can see, even in Async API, we have something that if you do event-driven, you already were in these discussions about, okay, so we're gonna have a lot of topics, a lot of channels in Kafka, but how do we name them? How many details we're going to put in the name of the channel? Should we put also a version in the name of the channel? Should we put the name of the company in the channel? In our case, it's pretty easy. We just put numbers. So whenever you add all these channels for yourself, you see them ordered. It kind of gives you a feeling that it's an official channel that we try to follow. But you also have channels, like in other communities, that is just for announcement. So you have purely communication channel where you have only selected group of publishers that can publish to the announcement, but anyone can subscribe and consume the messages. So it's really, really depending on the use cases. In event-driven, you can have, again, one producer, many consumers, but it's really, like in our case, of course, sometimes it's a lot of people in the channel consuming messages, but it's not always the case. And messages can be, like, the best is introduction channel. So for us, it's a state change channel where we know that there's a new member in the community. And we have two types of events there. So one is the message where you have all the information in the message. So you don't have to look up. There's a new person joining, where the person come from, what's the experience, what they're here in the community for. So you have pretty stateful event. But for some people, it's really enough just to have a really tiny event with the ID of the new member joining the community. And again, in event-driven, you're going to have different types of events depending on your use cases. Now, some channels are really just one producer, one consumer, talking to each other, pretty internal, should be avoided, especially in open source. So that's a real screenshot from my screen, but it's really, for example, for me, it's purely for discussing silly stuff and making jokes. But in event-driven architectures, you should avoid that. Many companies, when they start doing event-driven architectures, they really go this direction where the teams do like DMs with themselves. So one team first, they go to another team, they talk to each other, they have a lot of meetings, and they agree, okay, you're going to send me these events, like one topic just for this particular communication. Avoid the secret stuff agreed between teams. Make sure that everything is clearly, transparently available to the whole organization. Also, in event-driven, you have external connections. That's also common in Kafka. You have Kafka connectors, but also in many other cases, the most visible case I see is in IoT, where you have all the